All right, Alexander, let's talk about the military buildup in Syria. We have been reporting for a while how Russia has been building up and improving its position in Syria, and they're still doing that to this very day. They continue to improve their position in Syria and securing their position in Syria. They're definitely much stronger than they were, you know, when the failed Obama regime change was launched. But now we have, oddly enough, on January 21st, one day after Biden was inaugurated, we had reports coming out that the U.S. is now starting to build up its presence in Syria as well. And this is very troubling. We've been saying all along that the U.S., the Pentagon, and the U.S. defense team that Biden has assembled will definitely have the Middle East in their sight. That's going to be where they're going to place a focus on, going back to the Obama Arab Spring days. And we said that Syria seems like the logical first target because they probably feel, they definitely feel like they have unfinished business in Syria. So the fact that we're seeing a troop buildup in Syria is very worrying. I also think it it also hints at the fact that rumors are probably correct, that the Pentagon pretty much has carte blanche to act as it wishes, and that Biden really doesn't have much of a control or a say as to all the military maneuvers that are taking place. And there are a lot of rumors saying that it's the Pentagon is pretty much just, you know, acting on its own will, and Biden is just, you know, doesn't even know what the hell is really going on. He's just signing off and rubber stamping everything. So what do you make of the very troubling developments that are taking place in Syria?
They are extremely troubling developments. And if I can say, I think you're absolutely right. The Pentagon has been given carte blanche, and that is an absolute disaster in the making. And we'll just touch on why. But let's first of all briefly say this is a US troop deployment into northeast Syria. This is not an area of Syria which is very densely populated, but it is Syria's major food-producing region. And it's where 95% of Syria's oil comes from. The Syrians are being prevented from using their own food and oil resources. And the Syria as a country is now under relentless sanctions pressure. The intention seems to be, if you can't force military change in Syria, you strangle the country economically and try to achieve it that way. An appalling, appalling idea. And of course, here we see the Pentagon sending more troops there. Just a few short time ago, Donald Trump was trying to pull troops out of Syria. The moment he's gone, we see the troops being sent back to Syria. We know that the Pentagon and US officials lied to Donald Trump about the number of US troops in Syria. Now that number is increasing. This is an obsessional policy that can do no good. And of course, the United States has now got an official, Mr. McGurk, who is in charge of Syrian policy. He is a passionate regime changer. He is a passionate supporter of supporting the Kurds. He is somebody who is very critical of Turkey and of the Turkish government. And the Turks have picked up on this, and they're becoming increasingly unhappy about the US stepping up support for the Turks, for the Kurds. And on top of all of this, the Russians, seeing all these moves, are building up their own forces in Syria in response to the American buildup there. And as all this is happening, there are increasing signs that the real enemy, the entity that is the real danger to the US, which, to be very clear, is not the Assad government, Daesh or ISIS or whatever you want to call it, it's reviving. It launched bomb attacks in Baghdad. It's carried out attacks on Syrian convoys within Syria. It is far from dead, and it is reviving in some senses. So we are going all the way back to the disastrous policies of the Obama period, where we see attempt to achieve regime change, embroiling the United States in antagonistic policies with other powers, the other powers in the region, Iraq, Turkey, Russia, Syria itself, Iran, of course, exposing US military personnel to danger because the entire area is becoming more hostile to them, antagonizing allies like Turkey, and at the same time, which is what happened, of course, during the Obama period, leading to a revival of the very Islamic terrorist groups that pose the greatest possible danger to the United States. It is extraordinary to see how a disastrous policy is being revived and repeated all over again with all the same disastrous results. It's not that these people don't learn. It's that they don't want to learn. And they are so obsessed with the person of Bashar al-Assad and the regime in Damascus that they're blind to the consequences of everything else they do.
Yeah. So we're 9 months away from Assad must go rhetoric. And I think we're 9 months away from some sort of false flag, white helmets, false flag. So how do you think it's going to play out? What do you think Turkey's going to do? What do you think Iran's going to do? Because on the sideline, we have the JCPOA, and that's going to most likely get negotiated somehow or put back into the fold, I imagine, by a Biden administration. But on the flip side, you mentioned Turkey as well, and Turkey has created this strong bond alliance. You could say an alliance with Russia on the one side, but on the flip side, we can't forget Turkey's role in trying to destroy Syria and Assad, and you have the Kurds as well in the mix. So how do you see these countries shaping up as the tensions increase?
Well, this is it. First of all, let's talk about Iran, because, of course, on the one hand, Biden seems to want to sort of dial down tensions with Iran. But at the same time, what he's doing in Syria is going to dial up tensions with Iran. So his policy in Syria contradicts the policy he is trying to follow with Iran. And the two are going to collide with each other, because be absolutely clear about this. The Iranians are not going to change their Syrian policy. For them, support for Syria is more important than the JCPOA, because Syria gives them strategic depth. It gives them a protection against an attack, because they can activate, in the event that they are attacked, Syria and the various proxy forces Syria controls or supports in Lebanon, in order to counter any attack upon themselves. So they're not going to back off in Syria. And that's going to make them more skeptical and more manipulative in any approach that they take towards the Biden administration in negotiating any changes to the JCPOA. I don't think that's coming, by the way. I think the Biden administration is going to find that it's deadlocked on that front. Turkey has been trying to pursue, or Erdogan, President Erdogan, has been trying to pursue a policy, a very confusing policy, supporting jihadist groups in Syria, taking action that is in some ways hostile to Russia, and at the same time trying to pursue a close strategic relationship with Russia. It's been taking this very manipulative approach. What is Biden doing, or rather, what is his administration doing? It is pushing Turkey back towards Russia, because it's talking about sanctioning Turkey. I've done a program about this on my channel. It's now openly and vigorously backing the Kurds. And for Turkey, the Kurds are an existential issue. Ultimately, it is more important to Turkey, to Turkey's unity and territorial integrity, that the Kurds are prevented from establishing a statehood in eastern Syria, than it is for them to change the government in Damascus. So you will start to see Turkey drifting further and closer back into Russia's arms, at least in the short term. And what will the Russians do? Well, again, Biden is talking about opening negotiations with the Russians to extend the New START treaty, and he wants more arms control. And at the same time, he wants to confront the Russians in Syria. A very dangerous game, one where all kinds of things could go catastrophically wrong, which could very easily spiral out of control. The Russians are already taking steps to counter it. And of course, these moves are going to make them less willing to look at the various proposals the US is making for caps on strategic weapons. And I've done a program for my channel, which I think will be coming up fairly soon, in which I discuss why it is imperative for the US to agree arms control limits with the Russians, because at this point in time, the overall global strategic military picture is tilting against the US. It's facing challenges from Russia, from China, from North Korea in terms of nuclear weapons. It needs to slow this process down. So this obsession with Assad is ripe with danger. It could see an explosion of Islamist violence again, and it is alienating all the most powerful regional states. And of course, it is putting US military personnel center stage where they are most in danger. It is only a question of time, in my opinion, before you start to see an insurgency start to develop amongst the Arab population within this area, which could very well start targeting US soldiers. At which point, what does the US do? Does it intensify this? Does it seek to extend its regime change operations to Turkey as well as Iran? Does it try to extend even further its regime change operations to Russia? Does it confront the Russian military in Syria, risking, well, who knows what disaster there? All of this seems to me reckless and irresponsible in the extreme. And any sensible policymaker in Washington would say that the risks are wholly out of proportion to any conceivable gains that might be achieved by effecting regime change in Syria. And to be perfectly frank, I don't even know what those gains are, because overthrow Assad, overthrow the government in Syria, you're more likely to create a violent vacuum, which could create more conflict altogether and could lead to more Islamist violence still, as we saw in Iraq and as we saw in Libya. A reckless, irresponsible, foolish policy, ideologically driven, which is causing no end of problems and more problems for the United States. Donald Trump, to try to reverse it, Sleepy Joe clearly can't.
All right, yeah. So this comes to my final questions. How do you think 80 million Americans who voted, 75 million Americans who voted for Trump would react if Biden goes full into Syria, number one? Number two is kind of related to that question. Even Obama understood when to put the brakes on Syria. Even Obama did. We had hints that Hillary Clinton wanted to go full out war, and the fear is that Biden or Kamala Harris, they don't even understand where the brakes are on the car. They don't even know where they're located. So that's the fear, that they won't know how to put on the brakes, or even understand that you have to put on the brakes. So the thing is very dangerous. And number three is the fear in Europe of another out of control migrant crisis, which would be the last thing Europe could handle or absorb.
Absolutely. All of these things. You're absolutely right on every point. Obama had the sense to put on the brakes. I don't know that Biden can find the brakes. And I don't know that Kamala Harris knows that there are breaks. You're absolutely right about this. And I'm glad you mentioned the migrant crisis, because, of course, that is a real danger. I mean, if Syria collapses, we're going to see a refugee explosion, the like of which we have never seen. 2015 will seem like a minor affair, a minor episode by comparison. And how will the 74, 75 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump react? They will react very negatively, as will many people within the US armed forces, many of whom, of course, voted for Donald Trump. We saw during the military deployments to Washington, D.C., during the inauguration, how concerned some members of Congress were, some people in Washington were, about the reliability of some of those soldiers who had been deployed. I said I think those fears were completely and wholly groundless, but that's the concerns they had. I wonder how they will feel about the reliability of their own military when dissatisfaction and resentment within that military increases. To be very clear, the US military is disciplined. I don't expect anything to happen there. But nonetheless, that's the situation that they're inviting.
All right, we will leave it there. Alexander Berkurs, thank you very much. Guys, please look for us on BitChute, Odyssey, and Rumble. You'll find those links down below. Also look for Alexander's channel. You'll find the link down below. Look for my channel. You'll find the link down below. PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, and Bitcoin. Please help out this channel. You'll find those links down below. And of course, the most important link you will find down below is for the Durand Shop. We can pick up some great merch, maybe a long sleeve, maybe a hoodie, maybe another long sleeve.
Absolutely. Our fantastic magic mugs. Also, please remember, and our hats, our trucker's hats and our baseball hats. And our viewers who buy from the shop are enthusiastic about what they buy there. Our merchandise is fantastic. And you support the Durand by buying it. So please buy it, support the Durand, and we look forward to seeing you in our next programs.
All right, Alexander Berkurs, thank you very much. Till next time, everybody, take care.